Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is the 26th day of April 2024. Headed into a weekend. No Stars, no Mavs, so no gut-wrenching angst. Hopefully the Mavs can continue to make progress. That's tonight at the AAC against the LA Clippers. And the Stars, woof, they got to go on the road to Vegas and try to avoid getting swept in the next two. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how today goes. Lots of things topically speaking. Trump in the courthouse, Trump on the campaign trail, which for him is the same place. College campuses exploding in chaos. A little blowback. It's kind of funny. You knew that in the swamp of Austin and in the minefield of higher education, that if UT actually did the right thing in shutting down a protest, that it wouldn't last, that somebody would offer blowback. And you know who has done so? The faculty teaching your kids in Longhorn Country. We have much to address, but first up, it's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
So good. I got to hear. Wow. Jump in my ride. Ooh, 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 ooh. It's Friday night.
All together now. Come on. Are we living it up?
Straight out of Philly.
Bell and James. 1978. What a great record this was. Living it up. Parentheses, Friday night. Well, you're living it up, parentheses, Friday morning, and very, very glad that you are here. Hey, I made the Washington Post. Uh-oh. Now, this is kind of interesting. Follow the pendulum. The interesting news is, part of my pronouncements following the UT chaos, made the Washington Post. So, uh-oh. They must have found something, and of course they did. The big story was that there was mixed reaction even among conservatives as Governor Abbott and UT cracked down on these protests. And Mike sent me the initial flag of the story, and I thought, uh-oh, I know what happened. Because I'll tell you what happened. On the day after the protests got shut down, as the protests were being shut down, I, in the Tucker Carlson guise of just asking questions, except my questions are worth asking. Most of his are, too. I said, okay, what exactly is the charge? What is the actual justification for, you know, the heavy police presence and then the shutdown of all of this? Because we as conservatives, we are the people who have said, hey, free speech, and my Twitter quote was that a rally that I disagree with is not against the law. So what exactly, and a lot of them, oh, conservative talk show host, casts doubt as to, the police presence at UT. And it's like, all I'm doing, I wanted the justification. And within like a couple of hours, I got it. And was all good, not only completely good with it, but spent obviously all of yesterday saying this is 1,000% justified. And the reason, of course, is that the dean of students had sent out a blanket letter saying, look, in view of what's going on at Columbia and in view of the language being used by the organizers of these crazy, crazy incendiary protests, we're just going to say no. You're not going to be able to set up tents. We're not going to have people living out on the green spaces at UT. That's going to be a no. The gathering is disallowed. Your event is called off. And they did this not because of viewpoint discrimination. No, that's what the city of Fort Worth does if you have a detransitioner event. Find my Star Telegram column yesterday. I think they've learned their lesson. We'll find out. But it was all about the thoroughly principled anticipation of possible problems. Like, look at what we're having. Look what's going on. Do you know what they did at USC? Do you know what they did at the University of Southern California? They canceled commencement. My heart just breaks. Think about it. College class of 2024. Presuming anybody is on the usual track anymore chronologically. You know what that means? That means many of these were kids who graduated from high school in 2020. Or did they? 2020 graduations. Hey, we remember those. Destroyed by COVID. So let's say, you know, you're a kid in, you know, Southern California, you got your high school graduate, oh, wherever. People go to USC from all over the country. God knows why, but they do. and so no matter where you, your high school graduation was destroyed by COVID. And then we just say, you go to USC and maybe you've got your degree in Eskimo transgender studies and off you go, or maybe in something that's actually even worthwhile. It's like, man, this is great. I'm going to graduate from college. Woohoo! Get ready, world. Here I come. And then your college commencement is destroyed by what's kind of funny. This is like, did COVID destroy something or did our overreaction destroy it when it comes to like the economy and business shutdowns, et cetera, et cetera. In this particular case, did the rampant Jew-hating evidence from college campuses to, oh, I don't know, the halls of Congress, did everywhere in between, did that shut down the USC commencement or did just bad leadership at USC? I'm going to go with the bad leadership at USC because there's Jew-hating across the land. Anti-Semitism is on fire and commencements will still happen in the coming weeks. But at USC, They in a stunning display of gutlessness, they punted. And these kids are not going to be, oh, get your diplomas, but you're not going to have an event. You're not going to have a commencement ceremony 4 years after you didn't have a high school commencement ceremony. Or maybe you did via Zoom or, and it's just so well. You remember what we did? We put a bunch of kids out at Texas Motor Speedway, put them like on the home stretch with on the front stretch of Texas Motor Speedway with parents, like the ticketed parents up in the seats sitting 50 feet apart and with other parents out, you know, flicking their headlights in the parking lot. I can't believe we all went through that. But to go through that and then have your college commencement nuked. I mean, yes, it was a bad decision by USC, but the catalyst, of course, for all of this, by the way, USC is where they, I guess this takes care of their valedictorian issue, because the valedictorian was a young lady who had earned her valedictory address. I give you a grade point average if they still even allowed to have those. And she was a big pro-Palestinian person. And they said, you're not going to be able to deliver the address. It's like, wait a minute, what? And here's where the conservatives rush in as free speech advocates. Hi, we're the people who say, let people speak. I totally was in favor of letting her deliver her address. I don't particularly believe that she was going to go up there and say, class of 24, great to be here, death to the Jews. I don't think that was going to happen. Although, at least not from her, in campuses all over America, take a look today at Northwestern, which is in Evanston, Illinois, just outside Chicago. Some others that are mentioned, a smattering of coverage. It's just, and the mechanics of this and the dynamics of this are so stupid. And I don't even mean the global illiteracy that fuels the folks who actually do think they know what they're protesting about. But it's the dynamic that says, you know, ding, 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 ding. It's like some internal thing that goes off in a lot of mushy brains. There's a protest going somewhere. There's a protest. Let's get over there. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Which enables people to show up on the scene, put cameras in some of these kids' faces and say, why are you here? What are you protesting about? University's not listening to us, man. Not listening to you when you say what? Zionism. Okay, what's Zionism? And a lot of these interviews are going exactly like that. So many of these kids are just, they're idiots in one of two ways. Either they are objectively completely idiots because they don't even know what they're there for, or their idiocy stems from just current events illiteracy, saying things like, Israel is waging genocide. Excuse me, what? Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Which side wants to completely eradicate the other?
I think that's Hamas.
I think that's the nearby governments of Iran and other neighboring nations, from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. What do you think that means? It means the violent eradication of Israel. Oh, so much stupidity out in force. And it's also known as another week gone by in these United States. So let's talk about them. We'll talk with our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher, who has safely made it to New York. We'll see if Mike set foot on the campus of Columbia as we tried to goad him into doing yesterday. Listen, any trip to New York is an adventure these days. Our adventure topically begins at 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. That is also the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. At 835, we're going to say hi to Don Huffines, one of my favorite people ever. One of my favorite conservatives, one of my favorite just business folk, one of my favorite conservative activists' voices, one of my favorite former state senators. Just love him, love the family, love him, love him, love him. Now, so why is Don on particularly today? Yesterday, we had the opportunity to visit the ever-increasing interest in the state Senate District 30 race, where outgoing Paxton hater Drew Springer is going to be succeeded by either Brent Hagenboo, who seems to have all the money and all the endorsements, or his challenger, Jace Yarbrough. Now, Brent had a ton of endorsements going into the original primary, March 5th, forever ago, and the runoff is still forever from now, a month and 2 days from now, May 28th. And he sort of just squeaked by finishing first, and Jace was right behind him. So that got people to thinking, do these endorsements, even from, you know, folks we love, like conservatives love, like Dan Patrick and, you know, et cetera, do it? I've long said that endorsements don't mean nearly as much as they once did. And by the way, I love that. I mean, have I taken an endorsement taken it to heart and said, okay, that means something? Well, sure I have. I put it into a huge hopper. It's like, okay, if this person endorses this person, probably means something. And so, okay, and there's something I might like, something I might not, depending on who it is, blah, blah, blah. And I put that into a big basket of information and figuring out what to think about somebody. Most people out living normal non-talk show lives, you guys have access to so much info. You don't have to have a radio show to have, you know, Twitter. You don't have to have, you know, be a broadcaster to be able to read 57 articles and see 33 videos of debates and forums and draw your own conclusions. It's been unbelievably empowering for you, and I have loved that development. It's one of the ways in which social media is not the devil's work. It actually is helpful. And that means that you don't need to know whether some, you know, big daddy kingpin endorses the candidate, this candidate A or candidate B. So here's where we get to the Don Huffines angle. So we had a lot of, and so everybody, so Brent Hagenboo has, again, tons of money, tons of endorsements, both of which are really good things to have. And he seems to be a genuinely good guy in a whole lot of ways, with some genuinely good policies and votes ready to cast as senator if he should prevail. Jace Yarbrough has been very impressive as the competition, came pretty close. And if Carrie DeMoore and Cody Clark voters, the number three and number four people, all hop on the Jace Yarbrough trail, then Brent ain't going to win, endorsements, money or no. Now, that's a huge if. And I have no idea how that's going to go. It's up to you in Senate District 30. As the endorsements have poured in, Don Huffines has been one of them for Brent. Okay. That a caller yesterday was doing a little head scratching on that, because as I welcomed him and he said, yeah, I like Jace because Brent was a crappy Denton County party chair. Well, like, in what way? And it's just these little minuscule nitpicky gripes of stuff. Like, well, And then there's the residency thing. Is he living in a broom closet in his office? And I said, nobody cares about that. The only people who care about that are folks who don't like him. So I just said, listen, just stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Give me a reason why Jace would be a better senator. Give me an issue on which there seems to be daylight between them. Something that is a genuine policy difference. That's what really, really matters. And the guy said, property taxes. Brent seems to be, I want to be gracious here and call it pragmatic, that we need to reduce property taxes, let's do more of that and reduce the burden, et cetera, et cetera. Where Jace seems to be, let's get rid of property taxes. You are leasing your house from the government. And those who are looking to absolutely get rid of property taxes in Texas, which just gives me the tinglies to even think about. But then you got to stop down and think, okay, where are we going to get those lost billions of dollars? It can't all be budget cuts. Most of it can. But anyway, it's going to be a sales tax increase. So, you know, the policy giveth and the policy taketh away. And so the usual line, and Don has given us that logic. When he was running for governor, and since it's like, well, we do spending cuts, and then over about 10 years, we sort of phase property taxes out, phase a greater sales tax in. So the good news is, you know, you won't be paying, you know, 5, 10, 15 thousand or more a property tax on your house, but you know, the $1,000 refrigerator might be $1,150 because it'd be, you know, paying a big old Texas sales tax. So is that a trade-off worth making? A lot of people. Anyway, bottom line is the Jace Yarborough property tax policy seems to be taken right from the Huffines book, and yet Huffines is endorsing Brent Hagenbuch. So I thought we'd ask him why. So we will, among 35 other things that we will talk to Don Huffines about at 8:35. 9 o'clock hour today. We're going to finish up the hour in such a glorious way. A great friend of the show, local woman, no longer a local woman, lives in Bedford, New Hampshire, named Terry Teat. She's done New Hampshire coverage for us, and she and her husband are great. She and her brother are great. I met her and her brother, went to lunch with them some months ago, and they sprung for one of our Food for the Poor co-hosting gigs. And so she's great, her brother's great, and we're going to sling hot topics and a number of great things in the 9 o'clock hour and go out in a festive mood. So let's get into this mood as we begin. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, where our elections are reliable, where our borders work, where we protect the unborn and fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. 7:24. The year 1958. The song Rebel Rouser. Get it? On the guitar, Duane Eddy, who is 86 today. Beatles love this guy. They're walking around being 15, 16 and all. Duane Eddy was 19 when he cranked this up. All right, here's what the Washington Post cranked out about me. Thanks to Mike for finding this. They write, following the UT crackdown. In Texas, many Republican activists and lawmakers applauded Abbott's response Wednesday, but it was not universally immediately embraced on the right. Mark Davis, a conservative radio host in Dallas who has interviewed Abbott multiple times, initially questioned why exactly protesters were being arrested. He later said he had received adequate answers. He later said he found the response justified after social media users noted UT leadership had told organizers not to proceed with the event, saying it would, quote, violate our policies and rules and disrupt our campus operations. Wow. Look at the Post. Actually, even-handedly and accurately describing what I spent the day saying. How did that happen? Well, there's an answer. There's a young man named Patrick Zvitek who now writes for The Post. For the last few years, he's been writing for the Texas Tribune, an admittedly left-leaning publication. But Patrick, in his pursuits, has always, I mean always, followed my pronouncements and noted them with accuracy and balance. So thanks. All righty, let us head into the world of Mike Gallagher. As soon as we walk through the world of news, here's Nikki Whaley.
I'm so glad we had this time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song.
This would seem more appropriate at the end of a show or the end of an Eminem experience, but we offer it up at the beginning. Why, Mike? This should be an easy one.
Carol Burnett's birthday?
Carol Burnett is 91 today. This is what she always did at the end of her show. And she always would tug at her ear, too, which was kind of a love hello to her grandmother, I think.
That's right. It was to her grandmother. Yeah, and you know, she's a Broadway baby. But she started out Once Upon a Mattress here in New York City.
And
where
you know what? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I literally saw her on my TV box like last night. She is in this Palm Royale, which is weird. It's Kristen Wiig is a genius. She's wonderful. The cast is good. She's a overly try hard Southern Belle type trying to elbow her way into a Palm Springs club environment in the 70s. It's okay. But Carol Burnett looks great, is great, and she's just timeless and wonderful and so and that show, I don't know, listen, this has got to be true of both of us. Formative TV watching in our youth, watching her, Harvey Korman, Tim Conway, Lyle Waggoner, that cast was just amazing.
And you always watched for Tim Conway to crack up Harvey Korman and Carol Burnett.
Absolutely.
They would always crack them up, and it was just such a great, hey that's they don't make TV like that anymore.
They don't. And Mr. Showbiz, I have a question for you. And obviously, that's a singular example of when everybody loved it. But breaking, as it is called, when you're in a sketch, a comedy sketch ostensibly, and you kind of lose it and start to chuckle, and then others start to lose it and they start to chuckle, is that A, incredibly endearing and everybody loves it, or B, a fairly egregious breach of professionalism?
Well, audiences love it, but to the theater community, it's a breach. It's a terrible breach. I once saw Idina Menzel in a show that I loved, but everybody hated, called If Then. Yes. She was in it, she was doing a scene, and she starts hacking up a lung on stage.
Oh, no.
I've
oh.
never seen this happen before. And so the whole show stopped because she's just up there.
Right.
So she reaches down to the conductor in the orchestra pit and says, "Sammy, give me a bottle of water." And it's all through. I mean, she just broke character. And
what would you have her do? Die? I mean, that's kind of different. I mean, laughing is something over which you should have control. A coughing fit is not. Idina Menzel, also identified as Adele Nazib by drunk John Travolta at an award show.
And so that I don't give up my geek bona fides, I'm watching a documentary about her because she's got a pretty interesting life. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she's from New York and just always dreamed of playing Madison Square Garden. And of course, she's the iconic voice of Let It Go, Let It Go.
Frozen, absolutely.
Yep. But of course, big Broadway star with Wicked and Rent and everything else. So anyway, let's not bury the lead here, mister.
Yes.
Boy, you're on a roll. Taking on Greg Abbott. Yes, I saw you last night taking on Joe Rogan. Why don't you take a few cracks at Donald Trump today while you're at it? I mean, what are you doing?
What am I doing? In with the Abbott example, the UT response example, I said, okay, what exactly is the basis for the police response?
Oh.
I then learned it and was instantly fine with it.
Thank you.
Please,
I mean, why do you give them any quarter? Don't give these people any quarter.
I don't see things through that lens. I ask honest questions, unlike some people. I ask questions that deserve to be asked. No.
I have a contrarian streak. Let's go to the text line.
The reason why this is important is because in the Joe Rogan and your boy Tucker world, their contrarianism fetish is driving them to do things, say things, and welcome guests that beclown them.
But the irony is you have a contrarian streak. You really do. Most on our side, as the Washington Post itself pointed out, aren't questioning arresting these scum who are out there threatening Jews and saying death to America. And there you are. Well, wait a minute now. What were the arrests for?
Exactly right.
Uh-huh. Well,
and, then I found out.
And you found out.
So that people don't. Okay, the Joe Rogan thing. And don't make me go off on a 10-minute thing on this. He thought, hey, it's the ultimate modern contrarianism, and it's historical illiteracy. It's I'm going to be cool with all the cool kids and the young, Proud Boys crowd or whatever, and say the moon landing was fake because I'm suspicious of everything. I'm so cool. I'm so contrarian. I'm just asking questions. That is an attack on America. It is an attack on countless heroes. It is disgusting, and no show should welcome these idiots ever.
Somebody should have warned Joe Rogan, don't get into the space moon stuff with Mark Davis, because that's the third rail. Don't you dare
you got
question.
That right.
You'll be like, who was it? Was it you've interviewed him before. Was it Buzz Aldrin that punched
Buzz Aldrin punched a guy who came and said, would you put your hand on this Bible and swear that you walked on the moon? And Buzz did not put his hand on the Bible. He put his fist in the guy's face, and well, I loved it.
I did too, because in fairness to Buzz Aldrin, I mean, the guy was harassing Buzz, and he wasn't just like one question. He was like stalking him. It was kind of like with the goofy lady, Alec Baldwin.
Exactly right.
And same thing they Love did to Eric too. Adams the other day on the airplane.
I know. Eric's in an airplane seat, traveling coach, by the way.
By the way, coach in the middle seat.
I know exactly.
What the heck kind of mare is he? I'm going to be carried around by four horsemen
on a
gold throne. I mean, give me a break.
And
you're flying coach.
He's captive and somebody's just badgering him. And I got no use for Eric Adams, but I felt for him in this instance.
Me too.
Speaking of Mayor Adams, and there you are in New York, have you caught his narrative? And this is kind of a little bit of our side on January 6th, okay? Those weren't rioters. They were crisis actors. Bust in, blah, 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 please. The same thing with Eric Adams now, with the notion of some of the college protests, in order to avoid the conclusion that it's hardcore, violent, Jew-hating leftists, he is saying that too, is a phenomenon being bolstered by folks being shipped in, professional protesters, et cetera, which I'm not saying is never happening, but that's not the story.
I retweeted something this morning, there was a woman who was resisting arrest, I think over at Northwestern, and the cops are trying to get handcuffs on her because she has to be arrested. Don't you dare! Don't you dare! I'm a professor! And as I posted, I said, boy, that's really a shame. I'm going to have scrambled eggs and bacon for breakfast.
So awesome! What did you do yesterday with shrimp salad?
I had a nice shrimp salad when they were talking about the sprinklers going off at Harvard Yard, and all the poor little degenerates got wet from the sprinklers. I said, oh, that's a shame. I'm having a nice shrimp salad. You know I stole that from somebody. You know who it is?
No,
do you recognize it?
I don't.
Kurt Schlichter does that all the time.
Uh-huh.
Now, he's way worse than I am, because I'm just trying to, but it's a subtle little message. To
show
say,
your dismissiveness over something that somebody's all worked out about. It's like, oh, great, I'm having a burger.
Well, this is a big deal. And you know, there's a part of me that wants it to continue, because you know something? The Mark Davis rule is Americans have short memories. And if this all blows over the next few weeks, I mean, polling continues, and yesterday in the Supreme Court, and we carried a lot of it on my show. We carried the audio because we had an audio feed.
So
and
cool.
I wasn't sure. I kept asking the audience, you want to stay with this? Everybody did.
They said,
well, it's different because you hear, I mean, first of all, can I just say it? Ketanji Brown Jackson is a Supreme Court justice.
I know.
Mark, I mean, you hear her talk, even her mannerisms and I want to think of these people as being legal giants.
Yeah, and even if you disagree with them, I mean, Stephen Breyer, totally liberal and brilliant in some ways. I mean, not ideologically, but at least had, you know, a big brain.
Well, they probably win the spelling bee at least.
Well, listen, Elena Kagan. I mean, let's go right next door.
Well, even Sotomayor asked some articulate questions.
The wise Latina, exactly.
And they really tore into her. I was so impressed by the acumen of Trump's lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you're doing, standing there before these justices, and you got to be on your toes, and you got to be able to, because they're throwing, I didn't realize how sort of interruptive and dominant
the contentious
justices are. They'll stop you and wait a minute now, what about this? What about that? But here's the bottom line. They've established, here's the headline from Axios. Trump gets the upper hand at SCOTUS.
Yep.
He's going to win at least a partial victory from the court. But see, that's so significant because if he does, Jack Smith's case gets thrown out.
Yep.
Fannie Willis's case gets thrown out.
Yep.
It's a giant win. And they're flipping out on the left. MSNBC, they did everything but wear black bunting and sing Gregorian chants. They are in mourning. That Raskin character, that Jamie Raskin. Oh, they ought to take the Supreme Court and move it to the RNC headquarters. Because it's not going their way, Mark. And speaking of not going their way, I hope you've seen the reporting again from Axios.
I know, they hate to say it, but
Biden is now surrounded by walkers, by a group of men who are covering up his departure and return at the White House.
Yeah.
The visual effect is to draw less attention. And remember now, I'm reading from Axios. Yes. This is not, townhall.com.
Exactly,
this is not Breitbart.
Right.
No. This is not Gateway Pundit.
Yep.
This is Axios. The visual effect is to draw less attention to the 81-year-old's halting and stiff gait.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they finally realize people are noticing this guy's barely able to make it across the White House lawn.
That's it.
And so now they've got him surrounded. So first of all, we got the short steps on the back of the plane. You know, all kinds of images come to mind. He's got 12 steps to take instead of the big jet bridge that he usually goes up and down. And now some of his advisors have told Axios they're concerned that videos of Biden walking and shuffling alone, especially across the grass is particularly perilous, Mark, have highlighted his age.
Yeah, man.
Well, no. Hey, announce your voice.
No.
It ain't the videos
ain't,
that have
right.
highlighted.
No.
No, this guy's, I mean, four more years
and
pause.
It's, and it's not his age. William Shatner is 93 and doing jumping jacks. So,
you
I mean,
bet.
It's not
oh,
the
you
number.
Bet.
It's. And speaking of things that we have video of and don't have video of, don't you wish, and did you hear this, don't you wish we had video of the Secret Service agent going absolutely insane and throwing feminine hygiene products at her colleagues because suspicion had arisen as to whether she was a DEI hire.
Didn't have that on my bingo card.
Oh,
I mean,
her name is Michelle Herzig, a former Dallas police officer, by the way, who sued the city of Dallas for $1 million for gender discrimination, and that got dismissed. But
right.
I had a conversation with this. I am not going to sit here this morning and say maybe we don't need to have female Secret Service agents. I think there are some big, big tough women. You better be pretty big and pretty tough. It's very demanding. But her problem was not that she's female. Her problem was that she was a lunatic. So
yeah, it didn't seem. And then on this final note, this is my day. Here I am navigating the streets of New York.
Yes.
I took the subway this morning. Which is,
You didn't.
I sent
take
you a picture
subway.
On the subway. I was on the subway.
Oh, that's right. Slightly less crowded than Tokyo. Good point.
Yeah,
you did,
yeah. Was it? But what was
what
weird?
Are you,
I've
what
asked
are you
the,
doing? Okay.
Well, I've asked the guys, why is it so dead here? I mean, it's really weird. Last night was pretty teeming over. I'm staying near Times Square, but I asked Eric and Christian why they pointed this out. In New York now, it's a thing. People aren't coming to work on Fridays. They're working from home on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, the subway was empty. The plaza right by the radio station is empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's really dead. So this is such an interesting product and consequence of COVID and the pandemic, because all this remote working and all that, that's applying to New York big time. But so here's my day as I navigate. And the reason I'm here is I'm celebrating the final performance of one of my favorite musicals currently. It's a little show called Kimberly Akimbo.
Yes.
I just love it. It's sweet. It's not political. It's
final performance as in final performance.
Final one. They're closing Sunday.
Okay,
and I'm
cool.
going to be there for the last show because I love Victoria Clark and I love the cast. Anyway, that's the only reason I'm here this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my day. I got to start my day talking to the guy who mercilessly attacked Governor Greg
Stop
Abbott
it.
and then was cited in the Washington Post. So I, you know, now
Stop
you're on
it.
Governor Rabbit's
Stop
radar
it.
On that.
Yeah, he loves me already anyway.
Of course he does. Who doesn't love you? And then I got to finish my day talking to Arthur Idala. Every Friday I talk to my buddy Arthur. He's a terrific attorney New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The Arthur Idala Legal Power Hour, they call it here in New York on AM 970 The Answer.
Mm-hmm.
Know who one of his most famous clients is?
Mm.
Harvey Weinstein.
Who just got his conviction overturned.
I get to the hotel. There's my pal Arthur all over the local news here being interviewed about Weinstein's rape conviction in New York.
Wow.
I mean, it's a wild story because people are livid. They can't figure it out. And Arthur has said it all along. The trial was a farce, he said. And here's what's tough. When I put Arthur on, and you give me some guidance here because you're
I'll help you.
One of my dearest friends.
Yes.
Arthur almost speaks fondly of Harvey.
Yep.
And well, he's his client.
I know.
And he has to, right? And I think we all have the same general opinion of Harvey Weinstein, don't we?
Largely justified. He's a pig. However, that's not what he was on trial for. He was on trial for specific crimes. The evidence for those specific crimes may have been lacking. The overturning
the appeals
of his verdict
court
may
said there were the appeals court said there were egregious mistakes made. They let women testify against him who had apparently no business in that trial. But now he's still been convicted of rape in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And you're right. The guy's a pig.
Oh,
so
totally.
Now I got to say.
And the Me Too movement. The Me Too movement is still real. I mean, he created
the Me Too
movement. I know.
So when you see a conviction like this overturned, it starts to question the whole foundation of the entire Me Too movement. Is the pendulum swinging back?
I don't know, but all I would say, and the only what I call this guidance or just me being me, no matter what, if you have someone accused of something like this, here's a crazy idea. Follow the facts, follow the law, and if they're guilty, put them under the jail. And if they're not, let them go. And don't let Me Too fever result in anybody being railroaded.
And the obvious analogy is what Trump is being put
Ta-da.
Through. Don't put Trump derangement syndrome ahead of the facts law and right versus wrong. So maybe the court's going to get it right. All right, wish me luck.
You know what you got to go back to New York for? I know you're back to New York like every other week, but you know the next thing is, I don't know when it is. You know what Trump floated yesterday?
A rally at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, because he can't leave New York hardly ever. I'm going to do a rally at Madison Square Garden. It'll be huge. Can you imagine the Madison Square Garden rally for Trump?
Well, Mark, look at this week. I mean, look at the split screen of Trump meeting with construction workers, and they're loving on him, and we love Trump,
Yep.
And Biden shows up, and they're all booing him and cursing him. They asked a construction worker, do you have a message for Joe Biden? Yep. He goes, I sure do. F you.
Okay,
let's go, Brandon. All right, on that happy note, Friday. Wish me luck. I got my Kevlar vest on. I'll be navigating the streets of New York, the big, mean city.
I cannot wait for Monday stories, and I can't wait for the Mike Gallagher Show today at 10, as soon as we're done on 660 AM The Answer.
Where did you get that cute look? You look great.
Well, thank you, fellas. I've got a way to keep in style. Powder your face with sunshine.
Put on a wonder how the Mary Kay people are going to feel about this.
On your smile.
Make up your
powder your face with sunshine.
Your style.
Folks will be laughing with you in a
Evelyn Knight from the spring of
1949.
And we'll let Evelyn take us out.
Never was in style.
And into the 8 o'clock hour. Do join us, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
You make me smile.